first diaconate program, weren't you? The first diaconate program in our diocese. That deserves a hand. He serves in his parish, he serves in the diocese, and you cannot believe what a wonderful man this man is. So we are blessed to have him. Deacon Tom.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Peace be with you. Amen. Amen. Every time I give this talk, it begins with peace be with you. And that the reason for that is because this is what Jesus did when he came into the presence of anybody, was to bring peace. He never brought agitation, he brought peace. And you'll hear along with my talk some thoughts about some statements that Jesus made with his apostles and disciples and many other people. But peace be with you is a very important thing to keep in mind. As a matter of fact, our great Holy Father John Paul II, our great saint, every time he would get off of a plane in a new country, the first thing he would do when he would get down to the bottom of the steps was to kiss the ground he was standing on and say, peace be with you. And wherever he went, he always brought peace. Pope Benedict did this a little bit too, and I'm not sure if Pope Francis does that. I'm not saying he does or he doesn't. But it's so important that we represent Jesus Christ, and when Jesus is part of us, peace is with us. Question I have before I actually begin, where are the young people tonight who are here? Are you all in one group area? If you can just raise your hands. Now you're spread out all over the place. That's okay. All right. I'd like to talk a little bit about salvation history. We're all familiar with salvation history, but in order to build up to the baptism of the Spirit, it's good to take a look back at the mind and heart of God. And of course, it begins in the book of Genesis. We see how God the Father decided it was time to create. And he created everything out of his love that he wanted to express through his creation. And the most important thing he created was man and woman. And scripture in Genesis tells us that man and woman were created in the image and likeness of God, the Blessed Trinity. And that's very important to think about, because we're in a culture war battling on all kinds of different problems over the world where marriage is being threatened. And we're not standing for that. We go back to the way God intended things to be, and he intended that man and woman come together as husband and wife so that through them he could create more children. Adam and Eve, we know, messed up. They allowed pride to come into their lives and they messed up. So original sin entered into the world, and the effects of original sin are still being borne by all of us as we come into the world and are affected by what goes on. But God did not give up on Adam and Eve. He did not give up on us. He moved throughout all Old Testament history. He created covenants, special relationships with his people, the people of Israel. And every time he created a new covenant, it wasn't long after that they turned their backs on God and went their own way, sinning again with pride, even worshiping false idols. So God, in so many words, thought, well, that is not going to work. These covenants are not going to work unless I do something very special. And that's when he decided that it was time to send his son, the new and everlasting covenant, his son, to bring salvation to everybody. This was the beautiful act of love that God was finalizing, so to speak, with his people. I'd like to read with you a little bit about Mary. And Mary plays a very important role in salvation history. This is turning to chapter, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Does everybody have their Bible here tonight? Now, this is a Catholic group, I can tell. So if you do have your Bible, Turn to chapter 1 of Luke, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And upon arriving, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored daughter, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." She was deeply troubled by all this, by his words, and wondered what the greeting meant. The angel went on to say to her, "Do not fear, Mary," which means peace be with you. Do not fear her. God wanted through the angel to calm Mary down so that she could be completely open to the gift she was about to receive. And that was conception by the Holy Spirit. So Mary accepted that offer to bear that son, even though she was probably only 14, 15, or 16 years old. As she said, "Yes, let it be done unto me according to your word," she became pregnant with Jesus Christ. She became the first tabernacle, the first Christian, all at that moment of saying yes to God. And she bore the son Jesus in her womb. It wasn't so long after that she went to meet with her cousin Elizabeth, who was in her sixth month, pregnant with John the Baptist. So here's Mary there, is pregnant about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And she comes in and is met by Elizabeth, and in her womb is John the Baptist. And what does John the Baptist do? He leaps for joy within the womb of his mother at 6 months. The baby in Mary's womb is only about 2 weeks old. And that's the age at which so many babies are aborted, and even older. It's proof that God creates life at conception. We look at it in Scripture. Let's turn to chapter 3 of Luke, starting with verse 26. Tom, if you can find it here. Okay, here we go. When Jesus began his work, he was about 30 years of age, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Matthew, and the son of Levi. No, I'm on the wrong one there. And I did this last year like that too. Okay, here it is. It's chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. The people were full of anticipation, wondering in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. And this is where John is out with a group of people following him by the Sea of Galilee. John answered them all by saying, I am baptizing you in water, but there is one to come after me who is mightier than I. I am not able to loosen his sandal strap. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. And what does that mean? Well, Jesus was baptized in water. Not what we would call the sacrament of baptism. But it was a sign that when he went into the water, he came up and he heard the voice of his father saying, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was committing himself to begin his public life at that moment. But he needed the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
And what happened is that as he was in the water and John the Baptist was baptizing him, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and completed the baptism. It was like the baptism took place, and then confirmation, the filling of the Holy Spirit into Jesus, so that he could receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he needed to carry on the life that God had intended for him to do. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 27.
What book?
John.
What chapter?
chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. This much have I told you while I was still with you. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will instruct you in everything and remind you of all that I said. Peace is my farewell to you. Here he is again saying peace. Peace is my farewell to you. My peace is my gift to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives peace. Do not be distressed or fearful. You have heard me say, I go away for a while and I come back to you. If you truly love me, you would rejoice to have me go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And it's important here about what Jesus is saying. This is the part of the gospel, it's called the Book of Glory, with five chapters of John 13 through 17. And this is where he is sharing his intimate love with his followers, his friends, the apostles. And he's saying to them, I'm going to give you peace. My peace I give to you. And what he means by that is that he's already himself received all the peace the Father has for him. And now he wants to share that peace with his followers. And then he instructs them later on to share that peace that they receive with the followers of them. The whole thing is about Jesus sharing his love and all of us receiving his love. Years ago, Father Rosie gave a talk, I think it was last week's talk, Receiving God's Gift. And he said that when it comes to a gift, there's two parts to it. The giver and the receiver. The gift has to be given, but it also has to be received with openness. And all the followers of Jesus received the gift. When they were in that upper room, John's Gospel tells us that he came up to them behind closed doors after he had resurrected. They had heard that he had been risen, but they were scared to death. They weren't sure that was all true. But he appeared behind closed doors. And the first thing he said to them was, Shalom, peace be with you, to calm them down, because he had something special for them, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a little bit different. It's given differently in John's Gospel than in the Acts of the Apostles. And we'll cover that in just a minute. But Jesus walks up to each one of them and breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. And each one of them received the Holy Spirit in a very peaceful, calm, yet very powerful way. Jesus gave, and they received. Now, why were they given the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Why are we all given the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What's their main reason for that? Well, you would think that the gifts were given to the apostles and disciples for their own benefit. But that's not true. Gave them the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that they could experience his love and be excited to go about bringing about the kingdom to everybody else. We know way after Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles, after Mary had prayed to her son and said, Son, it's so many words, it's time to send your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came in fire, in tongues, and came down upon them and changed their lives. And those apostles and disciples, the 120 who were in that upper room, including Mary, their lives totally changed after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They exploded out into the countryside. In a very short period of time, they changed the lives of thousands and thousands of people, and were able even to convert Paul who had been persecuting them in earlier times. The power of the Holy Spirit, being able to receive that gift, those gifts, and use them to build up the kingdom. And what they found out is that by giving the gifts that they had received, by using the gifts that they had received, they experienced the love back to them from the people who had received from them. During the Easter time, these 40 days, the readings from the Acts of the Apostles are very exciting because we see how those apostles and disciples went about doing the work, the love of Jesus, curing cripples, such as the cripple at the pool of Bethesda, And when he stood up and was healed, he went around and started proclaiming Jesus to everybody. And that was the experience that they all had, the love of Jesus coming into their lives. And tonight, you all are here to be prayed with, will be given the opportunity to be open by holding your hands like this, by calmly, peacefully receiving the peace of Jesus, because he's going to, in a very real way, be whispering into your ears, "Peace be with you." And then he's going to say, "Receive the Holy Spirit." All of us who have been baptized and confirmed have received gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in most cases, or many cases, we are not aware what the gifts are. They're sort of tucked away in a closet, unwrapped, and locked up. We don't use those gifts. Not aware of what we have. But the community of Mustard Seed and other communities like this will help you to unwrap those gifts, to be able to help you to know what gifts you have been given by the Holy Spirit, and to use those gifts for the greater glory and love of Jesus Christ. So tonight you will be prayed with. And there are, in Scripture, if you go through the Acts of the Apostles and all the letters in the New Testament, you'll find out that there's about 33 gifts of the Holy Spirit. 33 gifts. And I know, Nick, you got 32 of them, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Nobody knows how many gifts they're going to receive, and it doesn't make any difference quantity-wise. It's quality-wise. Because the Lord gives to us the gifts he wants us to have and to use to help others to come to Jesus, to fall in love with the man who died for us. Back in the early days of the Charismatic Renewal in Northern Kentucky, well, actually in Greater Cincinnati, my wife Jean and I became heavily involved. This was about the year 1972 when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was 4 years old and she was two. Now what happened is that Jean, through the evangelization by some neighbors, went to a charismatic prayer meeting over at Thomas More College. This was started by Father Charles Wooks, who not too long ago died. At Thomas More, she went with those friends, and she came back after that first one, and she said, "Tom, you have got to go. This is really something else. It's hard to believe." I said, "Well, what goes on there?" "Well, they stand up and they raise their arms up like this, and they're dancing and they're singing and they're praising God. And then they do this thing called praying and singing in tongues." I said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, they're just worshiping and praying and singing in tongues." And she said, "You got to come and see how that goes." I said, "Okay, I will." So I went the next week. She was very comfortable, so she went up to the second row in the front. I was in the back row, between two big guys. And I can't recall who they were, but I remember they were big. So the music began, the worship and praise began, and I'm back there in the back, and then all of a sudden these two big guys are raising their hands and they're singing and praying in tongues. And I thought to myself, what have I got myself into? Then I found myself later on joining them, praying and singing in tongues. And what really touched me was the peace of Jesus Christ came over the room to everybody. You just knew that Christ was present. You knew that the Holy Spirit was orchestrating everything that was taking place, and all we were doing was worshiping and praising the God who created us out of the gift of love. So tonight, you will receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit if you're ready, if you are open to it. In the small groups, people will be laying hands on you that have been with you for these last 5 weeks and asking the Holy Spirit to unwrap the gifts that are already there and help you to start using them. And remember, as you start using those gifts, you will receive plenty of love back from the people who experience the gift that you are giving to them. Jesus came to the people in his day and died for us. Jesus is dying for us every day on that altar whenever we have Holy Mass. Years ago, a woman told me about a visionary in South America, and I cannot think of her name, but very well known in South America. And she described how she had a vision before Holy Mass started one morning. She was sitting there and she had a vision of the guardian angels, of everybody there coming out into the aisle to take up the gifts. So everybody's guardian angel went over and went up with the gifts as they were brought to the altar. And when the Eucharistic part began, when the consecration began, and the priest standing there getting ready to elevate the host, this woman could see the Blessed Virgin with her right hand on the left shoulder of the priest, who at this point was starting to glow because of the words of Jesus taking place. Jesus was in persona, was in the presence of that priest, and Mary was there praying for her son. That all took place in that altar. And I thought that was such a beautiful description